This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm Christian Crusaders welcome on this first Sunday in November. What do you do when someone harms you? Well, for many of us, our first reaction would be to stand up for ourselves or get even. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us, but this can be a very difficult thing to do. Stay with us as we examine the wisdom of these words of Jesus in today's message entitled Counter Culture. Today, I am going to visit with the congregation on the theme, A Counterculture. We invite you to stay tuned.
Amazing. Father, we thank you for another Sunday morning where we can hear your word proclaimed, where we can learn once more of your love in Christ, and where we can hear the call to give our lives to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we speak to many people. Some of you are among those saved. Others of you are wrestling with the Christian gospel. And others of you are not sure you want to have anything to do with it. But we pray that what is said may touch your heart and your lives may be changed, as well as us who have walked with you, knowing how important it is that we be fed. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Friends in Christ, there are some of Jesus' teachings which are difficult to understand. Our text is one of them. Let me read this for you, and then we'll come back and study it just a bit more closely from the scriptures in an application. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If this were our way of life, general society would question our sanity. So let's take a look at some of these. He says, for example, love your enemies. Do we really mean that? Do we really believe that we should love the enemies? We might say that we could avoid him so that we do not get into any confrontation. But to love your enemy in a personal way, a neighbor who has irritated you from day one, do you have to love him? He makes living quite difficult for you. Or, for example, he says, do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. Just imagine if you had a friend who suddenly turned and cursed you, hated you. Would you still continue to treat him the same way as you always had? Or would you go after him too? If someone should strike you on the cheek, what do? Turn the other to him also? Let's say that here you have a boy who gets into a real fight quite often with his neighbor, and he comes home all bruised. What is very logical instruction from the father? When that little boy goes after you, you turn and go after him and give him what he has given to you. I imagine many fathers have made that suggestion to their children when they didn't know what to do, and it soon got over. But this is the way that we react when it comes to this whole matter of Jesus saying, love your neighbor, love your enemy, love those who hate you and who mistreat you. It is contrary to what we're going to get in most any other place in our society. There may be a few who would say rise above it, but often it's go after it. Now then, this could be called counterculture. In other words, it's contrary to what society is teaching you to do and to think. I want to give you some rather long illustrations of this as it appeared to me when I was a little boy back in a very, very wonderful congregation. And so these things would stick out. There were two men. My mother has told me this story. Their names were Tom and Harry. The one was her brother. And they both worked in a large paper mill, which was out on strike against its owner. Harry decided that he would go out with the group. In those days, they usually took a vote on this, and tried to persuade them through the strike that they needed more pay and other working accommodations. Tom took the opposite position, and it was necessary for him to get into the factory then by crossing the picket line. Now here were Harry and Tom. They had been great friends, close friends. After they were married, it was the same way. But Harry saw Tom do that, and he said, that's the end of our friendship. Now, these men went to the same church, faithful in their attendance. These men, I'm sure, often knelt at the same communion table, where all things should be confessed. But they did not know the meaning of what Jesus said when he said, love your enemies. They were going to stay with us until death do them part, no matter what happened. Well, then, as I recall it, Tom became very ill. And he was dying. One night when my mother was going to spend the evening and into the wee hours of the morning with her brother, she was sitting there beside Tom's bed, and there was a knock on the door. She went to the door, and lo and behold, it was Harry. Years had gone by that he had ever uttered a word to Tom. But then he asked if he could come in. My mother said, by all means. Harry went immediately to the bed and got down on his knees and said to Tom, I have come here, Tom, to tell you I'm sorry. I have sinned. It is contrary to God's word, and I have confessed it to God. Think of all the good years we have robbed ourselves, good years that we could have had with one another after this incident. More picnics at these beautiful lakes in our state, so forth. But we lost them all because we lost love for one another. Tom was not able, strength-wise, to feed himself. So my mother had just finished feeding him. When he heard that confession, he lifted his hands, put them around Harry's neck, and said, I'm sorry, Harry. Will you forgive me? And a friendship was mended. Jesus had forgiven them. They had forgiven one another. Now, in the name of Jesus, they had a right to forgive themselves. You see what Jesus means? Love those who hate you, for it is not good to have it any other way. You rob yourself of good fellowship, and besides that, you have to bring that sin to the throne of grace. I have another illustration. What I want to do is take this text out of something that is almost ununderstandable and see how practical that it really is. On this particular case, I was visiting in the home of a lady, Christmas week, and I said, well, you're going to have a big Christmas day, aren't you? Yes, she said. I have to prepare a big Christmas Eve dinner for two of our five kids. And then on Christmas Day, the other three of our kids come. And it seemed like she had done this for such a long time that it didn't seem to have much effect on her. Everything was all right. But she said, the reason that we have to have two dinners is because there was an argument between our boys many years ago over the sale of some land. And the three of them thought that they were, one of them thought that they were cheated. And so he and a brother joined him, would not come together with their other three brothers. Even at Christmas, even though it cost their mother extra work. But that's how deep hatred can sometimes go. And so Jesus turns to them in a very, very practical hour as he turns to you and to me, friend. And he said, look, we cannot live that way. It is not the way to live. Neither for this life. Brothers hating one another to that extent. Maybe sisters too. And people in the church, kneeling at the same communion table, being so angry that they simply would not listen to any counsel to bring them back together. They wasted years here, but more than that they had to face God in all eternity. Friend, let me ask you very pointedly, are you mixed up with that kind of thinking in your family, in your circle of friends? Are there people that you will not work with simply because you hate them? Are you trying to cover it over by saying, well, I don't hate them, I just don't like their ways? Face the facts the way they are. If so, God is speaking to you this day to ask you to let the Holy Spirit take this text and speak not only to your intellect, but to your heart. And take this passage of Scripture, which is counterculture, contrary to what you'll have in the society of which you are a part. And then you will know what Jesus really means when he says love is powerful. It can blot out all evil iniquities. Hear his word. Amen.
It shall forever.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Oh, love of God, how rich and measureless and strong.
It shall forevermore endure
the saints and angels' song.
We can only see a little of the ocean as we stand on the rocky shore, but out there beyond the horizon, there's more. We can only see a little of God's loving, a few rich treasures from his mighty store. But out there beyond the horizon, there's more. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
to write the love of God above
would drain the ocean dry.
Not in the scroll
stretch from sky to sky.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have revealed to us not only the practicality but the importance of loving those who even hate us. We realize that this is counterculture language. The world says get even if it's necessary. Your word says forgive. Grant that we may be given the grace and the strength not only to know this blessed teaching, but also by the power of the Holy Spirit, to let it reign in our hearts. Give to us a good week. May we walk with you and know that you are the Savior who has died for us and loves us eternally. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and the internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has inspired you to let the Holy Spirit take this text telling us to love our enemies, and let it speak not only to your intellect, but also to your heart. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the gifts from our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. If you would like information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, please contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to Christian Crusaders at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. If this program has touched your life in some way, please write or call us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also email us at cc@naz.org. That's cc@naz.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FACE or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.